Chapter 28. It rained in the early hours before the dawn, and Bruce lay in the back of the ranchero and listened to it drum on the metal roof. It was a lulling sound, and a good feeling to lie warmly listening to the rain with the woman you love in your arms. He felt her waking against him, the change in her breathing and the first slow movements of her body. There were buffalo steaks for breakfast, but no coffee. They ate swiftly, and then Bruce called across to Ruffy.
"Okay, Ruffy?"
"Let's go, boss."
They climbed into the Ford, and Ruffy filled most of the seat beside Bruce, his helmet perched on the back of his head, rifle sticking out through the space where the windscreen should have been, and two large feet planted securely on top of the case of beer on the floor. Bruce twisted the key and the engine fired. He warmed it at a fast idle and turned to Hendry, who leaned against the roof of the Ford and peered through the window.
"We'll be back this afternoon. Don't let anybody wander away from camp."
"Okay."
Hendry breathed his morning breath full into Bruce's face.
"Keep them busy, otherwise they'll get bored and start fighting."
Before he answered, Hendry let his eyes search the interior of the Ford carefully, and then he stood back.
"Okay," he said again. "On your way."
Bruce looked beyond him to where Charmaine sat on the tailboard of a truck and smiled at her.
"Bon voyage,"
she called, and Bruce let out the clutch. They bumped out onto the road amid a chorus of cheerful farewells from the gendarmes round the cooking fires, and Bruce settled down to drive. In the rearview mirror he watched the camp disappear round the curve in the road. There were puddles of rainwater in the road, but above them the clouds had broken up and scattered across the sky.
"How's it for a beer, boss?"
"Instead of coffee?" asked Bruce.
"Nothing like it for the bowels," grunted Ruffy, and reached down to open the case.
Wally Hendry lifted his helmet and scratched his scalp. His short red hair felt stiff and wiry with dried sweat, and there was a spot above his right ear that itched. He fingered it tenderly. The ranchero disappeared round a bend in the road, the trees screening it abruptly, and the hum of its motor faded.
"Okay, so they haven't taken the diamonds with them. I had a bloody good look around. I guessed they'd leak them. The girl knows where they are, like as not. Perhaps... no. She'd squeal like a stuck pig if I asked."
Hendry looked sideways at Charmaine. She was staring after the ranchero.
"Silly bitch. Getting all broody now that Curry's giving her the rod. Funny how these educated johnnies like their women to have small tits. Nice piece of arse, though. Wouldn't mind a bit of that myself. Jesus, that would really get to Mr. High-Class Bloody Curry, me giving his pretty the business. Not a chance, though. These niggers think he's a god or something. They'd tear me to pieces if I touched her. Forget about it. Let's get the diamonds and take off for the border."
Hendry settled his helmet back onto his head and strolled casually across to the truck that Ruffy had been driving the day before.
"Got a map, compass, couple of spare clips of ammo. Now all we need is the glass."
He climbed into the cab and opened the cubbyhole.
"Better pound to a pinch of dung that they've hidden them somewhere in this truck. They're not worried. Think they got me tied up here. Never occurred to them that old Uncle Wally might up and walk away. Thought I'd just sit here and wait for them to come back and fetch me. Take me in and hand me over to a bunch of nigger police aching to get their hands on a white man. Well, I got news for you, Mr. Fancy-Talking Curry."
He rummaged in the cubbyhole and then slammed it shut.
"Okay, they're not there. Let's try under the seats. The border isn't guarded. Might take me 3 or 4 days to get through to Fort Rosebery, but when I do, I'll have me a pocket full of diamonds, and there's a direct air service out to Indola and the rest of the world. Then we start living."
There was nothing under the seats except a greasy, dust-coated jack and wheel spanner. Hendry turned his attention to the floorboards.
"Pity I'll have to leave that bastard Curry. I had plans for him. There's a guy who really gets to me. So goddamn cocksure of himself. One of them. Makes you feel your shit. Fancy talk, pretty face, soft hands. Christ, I hate him."
Viciously, he tore the rubber mats off the floor, and the dust made him cough.
Been to university. Makes him think he's something special, the bastard. I should have fixed him long ago. That night at the road bridge, I nearly gave it to him in the dark. Nobody would have known. Just a mistake. I should have done it then. I should have done it at Port Reprieve when he ran out across the road to the office block. Big bloody hero. Big lover. Bet he had everything he ever wanted. Bet his daddy gave him all the money he could use. And he looks at you like that, like you're crawled out of rotting meat.
Henry straightened up and gripped the steering wheel, his jaws chewing with the strength of his hatred. He stared out of the windscreen. Germaine Cartier walked past the front of the truck. She had a towel and a pink plastic toilet bag in her hand. The pistol swung against her leg as she moved. Sergeant Jacques stood up from the cooking fire and moved to intercept her. They talked, arguing. Then Germaine touched the pistol at her side and laughed. A worried frown creased Jacques' black face, and he shook his head dubiously. Germaine laughed again, turned from him, and set off down the road towards the stream. Her hair, caught carelessly at her neck with a ribbon, hung down her back onto the rose-coloured shirt she wore, and the heavy canvas holster emphasised the unconsciously provocative swing of her hips. She went out of sight down the steep bank of the stream. Wally Hendry chuckled, and then licked his lips with a quick darting tip of his tongue.
"This is going to make it perfect," he whispered. "They couldn't have done things to suit me better if they'd spent a week working it out."
Eagerly he turned back to his search for the diamonds. Leaning forward, he thrust his hand up behind the dashboard of the truck, and it brushed against the bunch of canvas bags that hung from the mass of concealed wires.
"Come to Uncle Wally."
He jerked them loose, and, holding them in his lap, began checking their contents. The third bag he opened contained the gemstones.
"Lovely, lovely grub," he whispered at the dull glint and sparkle in the depths of the bag.
Then he closed the drawstring, stuffed the bag into the pocket of his battle jacket, and buttoned the flap. He dropped the bags of industrial diamonds onto the floor and kicked them under the seat, picked up his rifle, and stepped down out of the truck. Three or four gendarmes looked up curiously at him as he passed the cooking fires. Hendry rubbed his stomach and pulled a face.
"Too much meat last night."
The gendarme, who understood English, laughed and translated into French. They all laughed, and one of them called something in a dialect that Hendry did not understand. They watched him walk away among the trees. As soon as he was out of sight of the camp, Hendry started to run, circling back towards the stream.
"This is going to be a pleasure," he laughed aloud.